Okay, thank you, Jackie. Good afternoon, everyone. Have you ever tried to get a handle on what would be considered the core characteristics of God our Father? Just what is it that underlies everything that God does to and for mankind? As I've brought it up, you probably can guess that I have my own belief from what I've read in the Bible, and as you also probably realize, I'm planning to tell you about it now. And if you did think like that, you're not wrong. So what do we learn from the Bible, from God's Word, that will point us to the essential God of the Bible? This could be the core of the Father's heart, the center of Jesus' teaching, and the focus of the Holy Spirit as He is within us, guiding us to be perfect representatives of Jesus Christ. Now, my understanding is that the core of God is made up of two things, love and outreach. First, the love of God. I think this is summed up in John 3:15 and 16. Not just 16, but 15 as well. Because I think it gives the balance. Because John 3:15 tells us that the brass serpent was lifted up in the wilderness for the healing of the children of Israel. And it tells us really, in following on with 3:16, that as that brass serpent was lifted up for the healing of the children of Israel, so God loved the world. And as a result, He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the world in just the same way as He loves the children of Israel. What He does for anyone is because of His love for all mankind. And secondly, outreach, or I would put it as showing people God's best. You know, Jesus came so that all who trust in Him would have life and have it abundantly. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it tells us, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So we see it's from God the Father, but it's Jesus' core understanding and thinking as well. And for instance, John points out in 3 John, you know, the third little book of John, chapter 1, verse 2, we read this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Can I suggest that outreach is to show that God's heart is for all people to prosper and be in health, as it says there, even as their souls prosper. Of course, God has a great future plan for us. We all look forward to that. But I suggest God is interested in our now as well as the future. He wants all areas of our life to prosper, in our relationships to prosper. He wants every part of our lives to prosper. Miracles, for instance, are available as required, but the goal is to be walking in health, as those verses tell us. These miracles that we know about and we see as we pray for others, of healing and of deliverance, come about because we have a Father who loves us, and the heart of any good father is to do the best he can for his child. Isn't that what you would do? If you could? At any time? You know, to me it's amazing that some people believe that God, who is the perfect Father, would give His children diseases and then refuse to heal them because He wants to teach them lessons. That's just not the God and Father I believe in. I believe, and I'm sure as well you believe, God is good. As the saying often here in church goes, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. From the Bible, therefore, I take those as the two main themes, two main characteristics of God. Love is the center of God's heart, and everything that He does is done to bring that love to all people. In other words, God is into outreach to bring His love to all people. With this understanding, I think we realize that miracles As someone once told me, miracles, especially as we see in the Bible and in Jesus Christ's life, miracles were the dinner bell to lead people to God. God's goodness in this way is to bring all people to repentance. But perhaps another question will come to your minds. What does that mean in regard to my lifestyle now? Well, do you remember this clause in Jesus' model prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. There's another old saying which goes, God's role is to get us to heaven. Our role is to bring heaven to earth. By our lifestyle, we are to make God's kingdom come to those around us, the people we meet, the people we can influence by the things we say and do. But perhaps you're thinking, that's impossible. Only Jesus can do that. Well, when Jesus was on earth, he said that the kingdom was among his disciples. Remember that incident? He said to them, the kingdom of God is within you, or as some other verses put it, was among you. Now let's take this as meaning that Jesus, as the king of the kingdom, was there among them. So God's kingdom had come amongst them. As a disciple of Jesus, you have Holy Spirit within you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Since Jesus is in the Father, and the Father in Jesus, by a simple extension, you should see that the Father also is in you. In fact, we can check all this out by looking at John chapter 14, verses 11 to 20. John 14, 11 to 20. And it says there, starting in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. Verse 19. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Now if you see and understand that, and especially putting verses 11 and 20 together, you see they're telling us that just as Jesus said to his disciples that the kingdom of God was among them, when we walk into a room, we bring the kingdom of God among the occupants, because we bring Jesus with us. We bring the King of the kingdom with us. When Jesus walked into a room, God's grace or divine favor was available to teach and to heal. So did you notice in verse 12 that we also have within us the power to do all the works that Jesus did? Now some will say that you can believe and do, you can believe it and do it, or you can doubt and do without. But having doubts is not the end of the matter. It's a learning experience for all of us. And we do not get to walk in the full power of God instantly at conversion. It's just not the way things work. We are to grow in faith and grow in grace. To put it in a more secular way, practice makes perfect. God knows, though, that we can do it, because he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Matthew 5, verse 48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So if God says we can do it, are we to say it's impossible? Or are we to believe that with God all things are possible and agree with him to do the works of Jesus? I say let's agree and take God at his word. And if we learn to do what Jesus did instead of asking God to do it for us, we will, I believe, see more of these things come to pass in our lives. then we will see, as that verse from Jesus' prayer goes, we will see God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth in our day as it is in heaven. So, to me, whenever we think of that line, your kingdom come, or speak it aloud, we are placing a challenge in front of ourselves because we host the King of the kingdom within us. And we host him with power and authority. Holy Spirit provides the power, and Holy Spirit is in all of us, and Jesus gave us the authority when he departed. So what difference does that make in our lives? What difference should it make? Can I suggest that it should make us live very differently from those who are not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? But can I also suggest this does not come accidentally? To walk in love, to walk in the love of God, is up to us to learn and to practice praying in faith to find God's plan for our lives. It's up to us to learn and to practice following God's plan for our life by the Holy Spirit. And it's up to us to learn and practice letting Jesus, the Word of God, fulfill God's plan through us. Now, when I was writing this, it occurred to me that the same sequence for living according to the plan of God through faith, the Spirit, and the Word also applies to how we live overcoming lives. Because we overcome the world by our faith. And it says that in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. We overcome the world by our faith. Also, we overcome our flesh by the Spirit. And it says that in Galatians 5:16. We overcome the flesh by the Spirit. And we overcome Satan by the Word and the blood. And it tells us that in Revelation 12:11. Faith, Spirit, the Word, and that one has blood as well. It's how we learn, we find, follow, and fulfill God's plan, and how we overcome in life. But then you would expect that when we are living in love, and according to God's plan for our lives, that we would naturally be living accordingly and overcoming life as well. Isn't it great when a God plan comes together? Amen.